This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:07, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. We have a good guest this week. Our guest from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Macoupin and Montgomery County, it's Lisa Reike. So grab yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of juice. We'll have our conversation right after this.
Making your final arrangements in advance at Plummer Funeral Home allows you to make decisions at a time when you are thinking clearly and not under the stress that surrounds the death of a loved one. It also allows you time to consider your options and to make intelligent, informed decisions calmly and completely. And then we'll help you put them in writing so that there will be no mistake about what you really wanted. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott in with you, our guest this week from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Macoupin and Montgomery Counties. It's Lisa Reike. Lisa, welcome back, my friend. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And we are here to talk about Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we're also here to talk about a big fundraiser that's coming up for you guys right around the corner. It'll be like here tomorrow. The way time flies, it will be like here tomorrow.
It will be, and hopefully the nicer weather will be here soon, too.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm ready.
I think most people in our listening area is ready for the nice weather. But we're here to talk about Big Brothers, Big Sisters. For those that don't know, tell us a little bit about Big Brothers, Big Sisters and what you guys do.
Sure. I started with Big Brothers Big Sisters back in September of 2006, and we are a mentoring organization. We're actually a national mentoring organization. We're the largest in the country, and we've been around for over 100 years nationally. And we do one-to-one mentoring with children. And our program is here not only in Macoupin and Montgomery County, we have several other counties. But it was started by Mark Brazel. He had the idea, sheriff deputy who had the idea, because he saw the need for the children here in our communities. A lot of the children we have are missing one of their parents, either, you know, dad is not in the picture or mom, living with grandparents. Lots of different situations going out there nowadays, lots of low-income children. So they really benefit from having a one-to-one mentor, seeing that person every week, giving them encouragement, just helping them fulfill, like we always say, our vision is to help the children reach their full potential. So.
And it amazes me. You mentioned Brazel, but it amazes me how fast an idea started and where it is now. I mean, this thing, you mentioned some other organizations. We were talking off the air about some other organizations in the county. You mentioned the Cancer Association and that. It all started with an idea, but how big this has gotten, it's amazing.
It is, and every year our programs keep getting bigger. I mean, we are seeing a need like never before, and especially this year. I don't know if it's the economy or, and I know around here we have a lot of parents that work full-time or they're in school, so they have to maybe possibly work out of town. So there's not a lot of one-on-one time with their children when they get home, or maybe they have a big family, so the children aren't getting maybe that one-on-one time that the parents would like to give to them. So that's where our program steps in and really helps out.
I remember back in the day, it started off strictly Montgomery County.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you're getting some of these Macoupin County school districts knocking on your door or giving you a call saying, hey, we've got some kids here that are in need. What can we do? Can you help? And I guess, is that how it kind of spread into Macoupin County a little bit?
Yes, definitely. It did spread that way, but we also have a lot of kids who go back and forth between the counties because maybe one parent lives in Gillespie and one lives in Litchfield, so they're so close. Mm-hmm. So we were getting a lot of referrals through word of mouth from parents and grandparents saying, you know, I hear you're over in Hillsborough School, and my grandson, I have a grandson over there, but I also have this grandson over in Gillespie. So, I mean, there's no reason for us not to have the program there, really. I mean, our program's all about helping kids, and so... why not?
Talk with us a little bit about the school districts that you guys are currently in, because I know it's expanded not only in Montgomery County, but you're now across the board, aren't you?
Right. Well, we do serve all of Macoupin and Montgomery County in our community-based program where they're matched with adults. Some of the rural towns, though, it's difficult to find those volunteers, but any child in either county is eligible. But as far as our school-based program, where they're matched with high school students, we started off just in Hillsboro, and now we are still in Hillsboro, and that program is doing wonderful. We are in Gillespie, Mount Olive. We'll hopefully be in Litchfield soon. We're still working on getting that program up and running. Fingers crossed, that could be any day now. So we've moved, you know, to bigger and better, and I just opened it up in Auburn. I know that's not really our county, but still, just to explain how, you know, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
You mentioned Litchfield. That's an interesting story, isn't it?
Well, we were in Litchfield at the beginning, and that program was going really well. But then towards the last part of the year, it got difficult because we were running out of high school kids that wanted to volunteer. A lot of them were involved in sports, so that made it difficult. And I ended up just having two Staunton High School kids coming over and volunteering, which was kind of crazy. But we didn't have the program in Staunton. They weren't interested in having the program at the time. Which we're always open to them having it, but we haven't been there yet. So it was just kind of difficult to get those students involved. And but they approached me again last April and asked if they could do the program again. And, of course, I'm not going to say no. I'm always right. open to that.
And so Litchfield is temporarily or in the process of being back into the fold?
We're waiting on parents to return the referrals. So if there's any parents out there that have a referral that's been sent home for their child, please send it back to your teacher. I can't go and interview the children or match them until I have those papers in my hand with those signatures. So, but I have all my bigs. Great high school kids. I have 9 big sisters and 1 big brother that are ready to go, really excited and anxious to be mentors. And, of course, we only have a few months left of school, so we need to get going quick.
Well, the weather is. They'll be in by Old Settlers still.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I'm kidding.
Let's kidding hope aside. Not.
That, you mentioned about the Staunton kids coming to Litchfield to help out. That's got to make you feel pretty good that at least there's camaraderie here because they necessarily didn't have to do this. But no. There was a need, and they did this.
Yes, and actually both of them went on to be community-based mentors and stay with their matches. After they graduated from Staunton, they went on, and they're, you know, still seeing their littles. One of them has gone on to become a teacher, so it was a great experience for her as well. So, you know, we think about the littles in the program and what a tremendous thing it does for them, but it also helps the high school students and the adults. I know I get a lot. When I'm with my little sister, she gives as much back to me as I do to her. I learn from her every time I'm with her. So,
talk with us a little bit about the matching process, because I know I do some work with the Hillsboro School District with sports activities and that. You monitor the kids out there that attend the games and that. That's got to be a hard process to match, especially a high school kid with a little, isn't it?
It's not necessarily hard, but when I have a high school student that wants an application and wants to volunteer, they do have to go through a process. First of all, I'm going to interview them.
How strenuous is that?
It's not too bad. I'm really just trying to find their motive, why they want to volunteer, find out what they do every day, what their schedule's like. Do they really have time to do this? Because a lot of times high school kids think, oh, yeah, I want to do this. It sounds like fun. But then they're involved in so many other things, and they might show up for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden they stop showing up. So we have to make sure that they're committed, that they really truly have the time, that they understand what it takes, that they have to be dedicated and be there every week. That's one of the most important things. And I check their references. One of them has to be from a teacher or school administrator. And I take all those applications. Since I don't know a lot of these kids personally anymore, now that my son has graduated, I may know a last name or something, but that doesn't mean a whole lot. So I will usually take the applications to the principal or counselor and say, can you look through these? Let me know, is this kid going to be a positive role model? Mm-hmm. You know, besides my interview that I do with them, because they may sound really great in an interview, but I tell them, I don't want to see you out on the street corner, you know, smoking a cigarette. I don't want to see your name in a paper for underage drinking. You know, you're a positive role model. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my kids, it's a small town, I don't want the little kids seeing you in Walmart acting like a fool, you know, or doing something that's not appropriate. So you need to be a positive role model. So that's how I find, you know, the appropriate kids to be in the program.
And you mentioned outside smoking cigarettes or something like that. You mentioned small town. Word gets around quickly, and it's not only in that town. It spreads, let's say if something happens in Hillsborough, it'll spread to Litchfield, it'll spread to Mount Olive, it'll spread all over the place.
Right, and we also have to be careful because a lot of these kids may be related, or I may pick a little and a big that on paper I'm looking at it and they have the same interest and I think they would get along great. But then I call the big to say, hey, I've got a little for you, and tell them a little bit about that child. And they're like, well, that's my boyfriend's neighbor, my boyfriend's cousin. So we don't match people that are related to each other either, even if they're distant cousins and don't see each other. We try not to do that.
It's close to 20 minutes past the hour here. Man, time's flying on this. One of the big fundraisers that you guys do year in and year out is the Bowling for Kids' Sake event, and that's right around the corner.
It is. It's going to be on Saturday, March 22nd, so it's about a month later this year. But right now is the time where we need people to start getting their teams together. It consists of just getting your friends, family members together, church members, church groups, co-workers, just people that like to have fun, 4 to 6 people on a team. Get your team together, and we'll get you a team packet. And in the team packet, there's everything that you need. There's pledge sheets, because you do have to go out and collect pledges. That's the biggest part of this that I think people, the biggest misconception. I think people think it's a bowling tournament or you have to be a good bowler, and that's not the case. This is a family-friendly event. Bowling is something that's fun to do, that most people know how to do. We never know what the weather's going to be like, so it's something indoors. Mm-hmm. But people will go out and they'll collect pledges, each person on that team. And the day of the event, they have a scheduled lane. They have a scheduled time that they bowl. They bowl for 1 hour. It's basically a big thank you party for collecting pledges. To be quite honest, that's what it is. And it's a great party, lots of food, lots of prizes, lots of we have a DJ, just a great, great time. And so we really encourage people to come out and help us and have a good time at the same time.
And this year's fundraiser is held at the Gillespie Super Bowl. So
yes,
this is kind of like a new venue. You guys have been pretty good about rotating spreading the love around, if you will, between the facilities. I believe, you're back again at Gillespie? Is this the second year?
Yeah. We usually try to do it a couple years in a row at the same place. We started off in Litchfield back years ago, and that was a great venue. And then when things changed, we couldn't do it there anymore because it wasn't a tournament. But then we went to Carlinville, another great bowling alley. That was wonderful. And then this year and last year, of course, we did Gillespie. But some of the bowling alleys locally are kind of difficult to do big events because they're kind of small. But it's so far, Gillespie's worked out great, and there are great people to work with. So, and it's kind of central, so that helps too.
And the proceeds basically is used for everyday operations?
Yes, and mostly to provide snacks for the kids and arts and crafts. Those two things, of course, we go through weekly, and we go through a ton of them because that's stuff that they take home. Or the snack, of course, they eat while they're there for the big and the little to eat. So we go through a lot of that. We go through, of course, games. It's amazing how much a game of Uno costs. It's like $20 for a game of Uno, and the kids love that.
That surprises me.
I know. It's crazy.
If it doesn't have a remote or a controller, I would think that they wouldn't be interested in that. But they're interested
in
Uno?
They don't have a choice. They don't have a choice because we don't have video games. They may sit and talk with their big, especially the little boys. They like to sit and talk about video games and stuff that they play, or computer games with their big.
Right.
They get excited about that. But no, we don't offer video games.
Okay.
So this is a time not only for the bigs, but the littles. They have board games that they play, or they work on homework. So we do go through some supplies there too. And then, of course, doing our background checks that each year keep going up, because we do 4 background checks when it comes to our adult volunteers. So those are very expensive.
Absolutely. And you mentioned activities that the kids and their bigs can do. If there's a scenario, I'll just use this. You've got a movie, let's say The Nut Job, animated movie, good for kids. Are there things that, say, the big cannot do with the little? Can they take them to, a movie for that time, or what's the rules on that?
Well, our community-based mentors can, the adults.
Okay.
For instance, I took my little sister here to Hillsboro just last Sunday to see the Nut Job. So that's one.
I heard it's good.
It is. We that's one of our favorite things to do is we'll go to movies together.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're a community-based mentor, of course we don't want you taking the child to an inappropriate movie.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's been a couple movies that she's 14, but it was a PG-13. But I asked her parent, you know, and I asked her around to see, you know, what's involved in this movie. But the high school kids, no, they are not allowed to take the children anywhere. They're supervised. They're at the school only because we don't do the criminal background checks on them. We only do references on them. So they're not allowed to go anywhere with the littles.
Okay. We touched base on the Bowling for Kids' Sake event, but this is not the only fundraiser that's kind of helped you out over the years. I know a good friend of mine, she conducts the dart run. The dart run for you guys. And that's been very successful over the years, hasn't it?
Yes, it's been great. The ladies are just, it's so nice of them to you know, even think of us to do this. And they're so gracious about it. And they do all the work, which is even better for me. I don't have to, you know, it's so hard with my job being all over the place, running four counties. I don't have time to do other than the Bowl for Kids' Sake. Bowl for Kids' Sake takes me 9 months to get put together. So
that's hard to believe.
I know. Well, with all the sponsorships and a lot of the advertising and brochures and things, it takes a while. And it's a lot of coordination of scheduling and lanes and volunteers and all. But yeah, the dart run is usually every September, and that's between the dart run and Bowl for Kids' Sake. That's our only fundraisers, so that's the money that keeps us going every year.
Have you thought about my family and I just recently? And I think we've talked about this before in the past. We just attended a trivia night that raised money for a church in Staunton. Totally different thing there. But have you thought about maybe doing like a trivia night, something simple that could raise maybe a grand or two real quick?
Sure. I'm always trying to think of ideas. In fact, I have a whole yellow notepad of ideas of things that we could do. The only problem is it's got to be something simple that's not going to take me, you know, hours on end. And it's not even that. It's trying to find, I can't do it by myself. I have to have volunteers. If there's anybody that's really good at doing fundraising that would be willing to help out, I am all for that. I would be absolutely blessed if somebody would help, because it's hard for me to do it all on my own. And that's usually what happens. You get these fundraisers, and then nobody wants to help. I'd definitely be up for something like that anytime.
Trivia night would be a way to, because for some reason those things
they're fun.
They're fun, but they draw huge crowds.
Well, and I like the idea though that it's simple. And, you know, you don't have to ask other people for money.
I mean, the hardest thing is coming up with 100 questions, 10 rounds each.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 questions per round. But, I mean, other than that, that's pretty simple.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. I'll have my people call your people.
Sounds good.
But this year's Bowling for Kids' Sake event will take place March 22nd, as we mentioned. That's at the Gillespie Super Bowl. It's like, what, a little beyond the high school, isn't it?
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, just across the street, basically. And it's going to be from 1 to 4, so people can choose their bowling time at either 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. Come and enjoy the food and the DJ and party and bring your pledges with you.
And it's family-friendly.
Oh, it's very family-friendly, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun. And you get a T-shirt if you collect $130 in pledges. You'll get a T-shirt. And Maverick is going to provide the food for us again this year. And I'm looking forward to their chicken strips. Those are good.
They have good food.
So we're looking forward to that.
You've always had interesting themes for the Bowling for Kids' Sake event. I think the last one that I helped you out with was like Incredible, because I think the Incredibles came out right around that time. So you kind of tapped into that. I think the other one you had
Vegas and then eyeball for the iPhone.
We have an app for that or something like
that.
What's the theme this year?
Believe it or not, this year we went generic and we didn't even do a theme.
What?
I know. We went all generic and we just had a colorful logo. I guess they just figured that it's a national event. So I think our office moved from Philadelphia to Dallas. And I think in between there it was such a – they just decided to just go with a basic – it's for the
kids.
So
you don't come up with the theme? It's the
National. No, I hate to admit that because they're so
Big
clever.
Big Brother down in Dallas that comes up with the theme?
Yeah, well, we can locally, but no, I can't take credit for that. I wish I was that clever. So no, it's just a generic one this year. It's I picked the logo, but it's not anything with a theme per se.
So it takes you 9 months, as you mentioned, to do this.
Yes.
March 23rd happens. Do you take a week off and not even think about it?
Oh, I wish. But no, because immediately after that, the next day, I'm drawing the prizes for the Power Pledge people.
Right.
I'm going out and I'm just, you know, giving those prizes out to people. And we let people collect pledges all the way up until May. And then May or June. And then we give the big prize at the end for all the counties combined, which I think this year is a $1,000 travel voucher, but I'm not sure if that's been
secured
or not.
That would take you on a good trip.
Yeah, and we had someone win that from Hillsborough a few years ago. Out of all of our counties, she won.
Really?
Yes. So, and had a fabulous trip. But it's, you know, we allow that because there are some people that will have, like, companies or something that will want to donate more than they'll want us to invoice them for a couple months. So we do invoice out for several months. Or if they don't have time to collect the pledges, as long as they give us the name and address, we'll collect them for them.
Okay. So it's hard to believe. Bowling for Kids' Sake, March 22nd. And we forgot to mention, you know, 9 months. You got to include booking the bowling alleys too, because you know bowling tournaments are popular.
Yes.
And the bowling halls sometimes fill up fairly quickly. So you want to. How long out do you have to book that? That's like what? That shouldn't be that long out. Far out.
No, and you know it's usually about 9 months or so out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first things I do, obviously, is book the bowling alley. But then I start looking for sponsors way back in, you know, September, October. I'm already looking for those sponsors for March, February, March. So, and this year that's just something we have to do to pull this thing off. So,
Lisa, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. I look forward to our chats in the future. Best of luck on this year's Bowling for Kids' Sake event. We've got a little bit of time left. Anyone seeking more information, what's a number or website that they can go to?
They can give me a call at 217-556-6120 or lreiki@bbbsicr.org.
All right, Lisa, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to our chats in the future.
Thanks.
That's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest this week was Lisa Reiki from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Macoupin and Montgomery County. Coming up next week on the program, Heather Hampton-Nodal from the Montgomery County Board will be our guest. Look forward to that conversation. So until then, so long.